All right, thank you, fellas, the Minutemen Gospel Choir. It's good to have these fellas here, and I love to see them through the week and then see them on Sunday. They get all cleaned up on Sunday and do all these things, but they just have to get with it during the week and do whatever it is that we need done. Part of our coming, though, has been to see you again, reacquaint you with us and us with you, but also to update you on our ministry and all that the Lord is doing. If you have been following and tracking along some of our story, you know that we were a ministry that many appreciated. But if you pressed them, the people that appreciated us, to have us move into their neighborhoods, they would be well, a little reserved. Okay, there used to be a saying called NIMBY, not in my backyard. And it would be forever, whatever businesses and whatever organizations like ours that you appreciated and were necessary, but you wouldn't want to live near them or have them in your backyard. And so that became us, NIMBY. But, you know, that's been updated in 2009 to a new acronym, NOPE, N-O-P-E. It stands for Not on Planet Earth. And so it seemed that there would be no place for the Union Mission to go. And under Reverend Basham's direction, we moved through all manner of discussion. I think he and the others looked at, for some 30 years, every abandoned warehouse that the city of Norfolk could find. And they always seemed to be able to find them and said, here is where you can take your ministry. But the Lord was watching over us and has and still continues to. And so about 3.5, 4 years ago, actually a little before that, but almost 4 years ago now, the Lord allowed us and led us into this new campus that some of you have been on at 5100 East Virginia Beach Boulevard, the old former Virginia Natural Gas site. We're just across from the Virginia Employment Commission and just down from Janiff Shopping Center and Military Circle. But anyway, as the Lord provided that, you know, Reverend Bashard, you got to remember now, he was a visionary. He thought about today, if he were alive today, 6 months ago, all right, lived it, moved on from it, on to other things. That's how the visionaries live. And so he, you know, he saw all this in faith before it was even there, and then he has gone on to be with the Lord. And so that that new campus became ours and all of the responsibility with it. And we have watched over the last 3.5 years the Lord just provide. I could tell you story after story, but we won't take the time this morning. But there was a place in each of your bulletins, or if you got one of these, a little brochure. There are some extras on the table over there. Hope you'll stop by the table. There's some information about volunteering. If you want to get involved in our ministry, there's also a little sign-up sheet for a tour or for additional information. Or maybe you have someone that needs our services. I go to the churches and I find someone who in some way directly, personally, has been touched by homelessness or the related issues of homelessness. And so maybe there'll be a need there. But inside, the front cover has a picture and a larger picture of our men's shelter that is yet to be built. If you look at the map inside, and I know that we're not here to look at maps this morning, but as you look at that, I hope you'll let that be a matter of prayer. I remember years ago, a missionary giving me one of his prayer cards, and he said to me, he says, I want you to pray for me. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to put this, and he handed me the prayer card, and he said, I want you to put this either on your Bible or in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever one you open the most. All right? So I want you to put this where you will see it the most and pray for it, just to, not to go through it in great detail, but the Lord provided the property. It's paid for. The Lord has provided everything that you see on the map, minus that large building in the front with a lot of numbers. That's the piece that the Lord is yet to bring to us. We believe that he will. You may have read that the mission has sold or is preparing to sell its property in downtown Norfolk, and those proceeds will help us to continue to raise the money needed to build the permanent men's shelter. And you may say, why do you need all of this? You know, between two campuses, just in the last week, we will provide shelter for some 250 to 275 men, women, and sometimes children. These are people that come to us. You also may have read that our city of Norfolk got some distinction that you don't really want, however they do these things, but that we had a growth population, a growth rate in the homeless population, rivaling some of the big cities. And I don't know about you, but when you're compared with Detroit, it can't be flattering. But those are the things that the Lord knows about. And we have seen, and we're not a perfect people. We're trying to be a faithful people. But folks, I just need to tell you that the Lord has been so faithful to His Word. Every time there's been a need, a financial need, whatever it is, the Lord has met it. And I believe that He'll do that. This final piece, about 2.5 years ago, we launched on an expansion. I've never done anything like this before, and said, you know, Lord, what do you want us to do? And the Lord led us through some godly counsel to begin a campaign to raise what at the time was $12 million. And when we saw, after about 2 years, that the building downtown would not fetch what we perhaps thought it would, we expanded it to $15 million. But I want you to know that after just over 2 years, God has provided nearly $11 million of that. And we believe He'll provide the rest. And so I want you to pray about this, and there are certainly opportunities there for you to get involved, to pray about, to even give if that's what the Lord leads you to. But this is a work that has God's hand upon it every day. I'm reminded of that. Just going into the mission this morning and seeing all the people, you know, weather like this packs us out. You say, is it the cold weather? No, it's really the rain. Rain brings people in more than cold or hot, because cold or hot, who wants to be wet? And so I think about a day like today, and I think about all the pairs of socks we're going to need to provide, dry socks, and all the other things. And we pray about it, we commit it to the Lord, and we ask you to do the same. So I hope you'll do that, and I hope you'll come out and you'll see what the Lord is doing. We call this this new property, this new ministry, a new home for hope. You'll see it right there. And if you were to come out and you were to see what the Lord is doing in our family shelter and our discipleship program, some of the other things we're doing, I think you'd get a good understanding of why we call it a new home for hope, because we truly believe that that's what God is going to do. And so it's exciting to me. But what's really exciting to me is what the Lord is doing in the lives of people. And I want to take just a few minutes is all we have, I'm sure, and just point something out to you that I believe the Lord is doing in our ministry, and something that you might pray about. I shared a passage this morning with our folks downtown from John chapter 8. And this is the very familiar story there of this woman caught in this compromising situation. And she's brought before Jesus, and really as a test, as an attempt to trap him, these Pharisees and scribes say, "What are you going to do, Lord?" Here she is, caught in the very act. It's there in John chapter 8. And you know, as the story goes, Jesus really ignores their questions, and he utters something, writes in the ground, and then eventually we get to verse 9. In verse 9 it says, "And those who heard it, they heard him say he was without sin, throw the first stone at her," and the writing in the ground. "Those who had heard it, being convicted in their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?'" And I mean, you know, before there was a ring of these people not really thinking of her best interest at that time. A very scary situation. And so in verse 11, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know, the very familiar story, and what a wonderful thing. But let me just ask you to consider this. As I think about the work that we're doing, the work that we're engaged in with the emergency shelter, and then there's these training programs that we endeavor to get off the ground, and we have a discipleship program, really investing in the lives of men and women. Let me ask you just to consider, it's not given to us here. We'll have to speculate as to what happened to her after she was let go by Jesus. And she was commanded, now go and leave your life of sin, okay? And that was very clear. He didn't gloss over that. But I can't help but think, Lord, what did it look like in her daily life after that moment with Jesus? I think about it in my own life, and maybe you would be sort of reminisce with me for a moment. What did it mean when God set you free through Jesus Christ? What did it really mean? You say, "Well, I was only 7 years old. I didn't feel like I was set free of anything." Yeah, but maybe there's been some growth in that. Or maybe you were saved at our church. A lady gave a testimony. She joined a church and she said, I wasn't saved until I was 50 years old. Don't give up. A godly woman pursued me, and at the age of 50, I received Christ. And she was so excited about it. And I can't help but think of what her life must have been like. Folks, that's what's taking place at the Union Mission. People are coming, and they're coming every night and every day. They're coming in all kinds of situations. And we're hearing stories that, well, no, we'll be able to do this, but we won't be able to do that. And all of these things taking place. Listen, what most surely is happening is that people are being confronted with the claims of Christ upon their lives. She would have to either receive it or reject it. And if she did, her life was going to be changed. I was talking with someone on last Thursday, and he said to me, he said, listen, I want you to know, I tried everything and every program out there. I was involved in a program that cost upwards of $20,000 for drug addiction. None of it worked. But in 2003, God sent me to the Union Mission. And God, through a process and through time, began to work on my heart. And I know now today, he's going to be joining a church here soon. He has his own place. He doesn't come back to the mission except to visit. But I know that God made a difference in my life through the work of the Union Mission. And so I think about this lady, and I think, okay, now, Lord, there's the start of a new life for her. But there's another piece, another part of it, and it's, again, we can speculate as to what happened to her, but we don't have to speculate about our own lives. What happened after Jesus Christ gave this miraculous deliverance, this salvation? For her, it probably meant she didn't need to return. I'm sure it did. She didn't need to return to the old ways. It probably meant that she had to work hard to set herself free from her past. I mean, who was willing to let this lady forget and leave her past? Probably not many. But here he says, is there no one to condemn you? And since I don't, you're set free. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing as God brings his people, young and old and men and women. Last Sunday morning, we had this service, and this lady, young lady, raises her hand. I just go up to her and I say, hey, do you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? I sure do. Last night, I prayed with someone in your shelter, and I received Christ. I said, praise the Lord. You know, she's still with us this week. And here's the work of the Union Mission for the future, and this is what I'd want you to pray about. And that is this. This precious woman was set free, sure. But then she had to be taught how to live as a free person. We have a discipleship program. We have about 11 men involved in it now. It's something somewhat new to us. And let me tell you, it's been a great struggle to get it off the ground. But we believe God's going to do this. And we believe that God is going to bring us men with men and women with women that will do a mentoring program that godly men will stop by perhaps on their way to work or after work and share for half an hour, 45 minutes with the man and talk with him about what the Lord is doing in his own life and praying for him and all of the other particular things. Because after she received this wonderful gift, I mean, she needed to be taught how to enjoy this precious gift. I would imagine there were times in her life where she thought, why don't I just go back to my old way? It was easier. I was familiar with it. And many of our people are tempted to do that very thing. Go back. And yet that is not at all what Christ came to do. Not for them, not for any of us. And so our discipleship program is designed to just come alongside of someone and say, you've not walked this way before, but I'll walk it with you. And praise God. You know, in a two-month period earlier this year, and we're not a numbers ministry, okay, but we do need to mark those things down. We saw 32 men pray to receive Christ as their Savior. Just coming in and sitting down and giving us the opportunity, our chaplain and others, to share with them what it means to be set free. And folks, as you think about the Union Mission, as you go through the Christmas season, listen, you know, nothing can seemingly happen to that old building. I mean, we've had hurricanes and storms and nor'easters, and that old building's like a rock. Don't pray about the building so much, although you can do that. Pray about those inside who we long to see come to the point that this lady, no one there to accuse me, no one there to condemn me. In the highest courts of heaven, I'm free. I'm forgiven. And that's the hope and the prospect. that the people that come to us are well, sometimes they're seeking it. Sometimes we have to show them that. But that's the hope and prospect for us this Christmas season, that God will give us many people like this precious lady and like others who can say, now I belong to Jesus. Now I understand. And now we can just take God's people and just direct them and lead them and go with them into new avenues, into new ways of life, a new purpose. Let me just say this and I'll close. At the Union Mission, we got to make a big deal of anything that happens that's good. I mean, we got to celebrate because there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of setbacks, a lot of failures. And we make a big deal. You don't understand. You say, well, shouldn't that be a normal thing that someone did this act of responsibility? No, you don't understand. Some of our folks have known no success or responsibility or victory or overcoming. We make a big deal of it. And we make a big deal when there are those whose the blinders finally come off and they say, now I see. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now I see the purpose that God has prepared for me. So please pray. Please pray. Please come see. Remember what the Lord is doing there, and we'll rejoice together. You let us come back. We'll share with you another report of all that the Lord is doing. So we just thank you so much for the opportunity and for the time. And again, please stop by and see the table and get some information if you'd like to do that. God bless you and Merry Christmas.